Iso.
Good morning.
What's up?
How you doing today?
Better than yesterday.
A little better than yesterday, yeah.
I'd say better than yesterday. Yeah. That's was much needed to be better than
sure
yesterday.
Sure was.
What do you want to get to? I say we get to the Red Sox right out
Let's
of the
do
game.
It. Big game,
game tonight.
That's right.
Another one. They got three in a row down there.
Five-game series starts tonight.
Yes, they do. Mm. Yes, they do. They will play all three down there. It's guaranteed to go at least five here with each team with one win apiece to this point. You know, we touched on this topic yesterday, and it was Chris Sale going to MGH over the weekend and checking in and staying overnight for observation. Now he's going to be with the team in Houston. And then yesterday, after our show, I was listening to some of what Alex Cora had to say about Chris Sale. Something caught my ear.
I saw this on the text.
Something caught my ear in this, and it's because when people cover things up, they say too much, don't they? You know, calling sick to work, you got this big elaborate excuse about why it is you're not coming into work.
18 you know, descriptive details.
Your cat's throwing up or something. Right. I mean,
there's blood everywhere.
When you say too much,
your cat's dying.
People get suspicious.
Right.
Like, wait, what? I didn't ask you about
all
this.
Just call out.
And because of that, when you sort of volunteer too much information, I start to get suspicious. And Alex Cora brought something up that I hadn't heard anywhere. And maybe it was said by somebody somewhere. But if it was a storyline, I didn't know about it. You didn't know about it. I hadn't heard it anywhere else. Let's hear it. Here's Alex Cora on the status of Chris Sale.
How's Chris doing, and what is his status in terms of the rest of the surgery?
So, you know, he's at his hospital. He'll be here with us tomorrow. Everything is fine. So we'll see how he feels physically, and then after that, we'll decide what we're going
to
do.
Is what he the reason he was hospitalized have anything to do with baseball? Or
it's just his stomach. That's it, you know. Yeah. He felt ill right after the game, started throwing up, and then he decided to go to the hospital, and that was it, yeah. So
was that related to anything he had been taking to pitch or anything like that?
No, none that I know.
That's Pete Abe there, right? That Pete Abe asking the questions, that's really, who I thought it was.
Really good questions if you're onto something.
Because that third question is someone in the media bringing it up.
Mm-hmm. Someone very close to the team and protects the team.
But that element there of, no, not that I know of. Whoa, what do you mean not that you know of? What is he taking? What's he taking for this? Do we have another Clay Buchholz situation on our hands? Did someone develop a little bit of the esophagitis from taking Toradol? Like, that's the first thing I thought of.
I think Napperson. Yeah, I mean,
job by Pete Abe there.
Hey.
And then the manager, you know, didn't give you a flat no. He just said, not that I'm aware of. Which, what, opens the possibility that it is?
Oh, God, Napperson's like an anti-inflammatory. We all used to take it. He used to eat the stomach lining of mine. And makes you sick. It messes with your head. You mentally get whacked out where you think, oh, God, you know, these things are happening and my arm's falling apart. They're going to cut me. I got to keep popping these pills. And, you know, it happened to Brett Favre. You know, you look at the Favre record with him and, you know, the story of his tight end Chamora having him, you know, going out with him. And he's throwing up painkillers out in the snow.
Clay Buchholz went on the DL and missed a number of starts when he had that.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Guys will take anything to have the anti-inflammatories in your system to help you throw, pitch, get through it, help your knee pain, anything. Any type of pain. Toradol, you name it. Yep, you'll take it. That's a good question by Pete.
I go back to 2012, and I think of that situation. I think, oh, no, don't tell me that's what we've got on our hands. Right?
Well, it makes you even feel worse about the arm because it's like, wow, the arm's not good. There's pain.
I mean, he went on the DL at the end of June of 2012, and I don't think he was back until after the All-Star break. I mean, he missed time. So that's my concern as to why. Because didn't we say yesterday, that's a little weird they kept him overnight, isn't it?
Yeah, for a flu or a stomach bug.
Like
it was termed
sick,
stomach bug. Right.
You get your IVs, you go home, you're still sick.
Yeah, you just want to crawl. You want to be in your own bed.
You got to basically stay hydrated, let it run its course.
I don't know anybody, myself or any friends that would love to go to the hospital because you had the stomach bug or you had the flu. No, you want to get in your own bed,
well,
turn the heat
you know,
up.
He weighs like 6 pounds. You know, he's rather thin individual.
Yeah. So does my 9-year-old kid. I mean, you know, when they get sick, what do your kids do? They just want to stay in bed and pull the blinds, and nobody wants to go to the hospital.
Nobody wants to stay overnight.
No, you don't get any restful sleep there. Nothing. You're a beep beep. You're constant. You got stuff stuck in your arm. No, you don't want that. You got the IV. They always put the drain in.
Something's weird here. Am I crazy?
No.
Am I crazy for thinking that?
The fact that guy asked that question, somebody's telling him
it
something.
It feels to me like an informed question that a reporter heard.
He doubled down on it. He said, is this baseball related? Is he taking something to pitch? It was boom, boom by Pete. Like that was good by Pete Abraham.
It's good, but the manager wouldn't fully deny. No, not that I know of. Not that I know.
And when
of.
The Red Sox talk about injuries and stuff, it's
Plausible deniability. The doctors know about it, but I don't know about it.
Well, it's the Pedro tweet from a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
Waiting for the medicine to kick in. Remember?
Yeah, of course.
Bingo.
But that could be like something day of.
But that's right? Also a guy that matter. Pitches day, at a high level. Of, this day, is how wait, you wait, do it. This is what you do.
Medicine day of can't make you ill?
No, you're right. It could.
No, and this that's is no good. This is no big deal, folks. This is what you do to play professional sports. So this is not like they're doing anything illegal or trying to cover or mask something up.
Here's another question.
When you're burned out and you're sore, this is the stuff you take.
Here's something else that I wonder. You know, Rick Porcello, go back to what he said. Everything that he's been through, you know, was one of these setbacks, getting sick from whatever it is they're giving him to sort of make
maybe
him
stomach
capable
blew up.
Of pitching at this point in time. Could that have been one of his setbacks? Maybe he's already dealt with this before.
Does that questioning give you levels of concern for him heading to Houston?
Well, I was already concerned for him because
he doesn't have velocity.
Listen, without him, even without his velocity, you know, he wasn't his best the other night. It wasn't even close. But you still need him. You still need him even if he can only give you what he gave you in game one. You still need that.
Yeah.
I think you do. And you hope that he's going to be better than what he was in game one. But, wow. Wow. It just caught my ear. Like, well, what do you mean not that you know of? You don't definitively know?
Nope.
If that could have been the issue? Joe's in Quincy. Joe, what do you think of this?
Oh, I guys. You're an athlete, and you spend your life throwing a football. Did you ever have shoulder injuries?
No, elbow. Tendonitis.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, would you say...
I took it all. Anything that was available, I took it.
What would you recommend?
Well, when you say it's relative to one's whole body mass, you know, if you're thin, your shoulder cuff muscles and all that are going to be thin as well. You're just like a lineman.
I just think that when you take this type of stuff, and I've had this before, where it does affect your stomach. It does. Whether you're a big guy, whether you're a thin guy, stomach lining is stomach lining. You know, when you have a lot of this and you're taking in extra stuff, and on game day it's tough to eat because your nerves, and you really don't want to pound food. You know, you sit there and you wait. You also have that natural mental anxiety. You know what I'm saying? So everything's playing on it, and there's a lot of things that could have led to him feeling awful after that game and going and puking. I think it's a buildup of everything. This thing could be coming to head for him. I don't know.
I don't think
it's sickness. I don't.
Yeah, I'm very suspicious of that story.
Yeah.
That it's just, he got sick. So sick that we held him back, didn't fly him. Now, that could be precautionary to not make sure everyone else gets sick.
Oh, unless you're checking.
Make sure that no one else gets sick, I should say.
You're doing an internist type testing on him, and you want to make sure everything's right before you send him down. It could have taken a while.
Or he, you know, tore a hole in his esophagus, taking Toradol too many times, like Clay Buchholz did in 2012. We know the Red Sox like to prescribe that. So, I don't know. I'm just worried. I'm just nervous. I'm nervous about this series. Nervous for the Red Sox. That's all. That's all I can think of right now. That it seemed a little odd that he didn't know definitively if that was what could have been causing it. Just said, no, not that I know of. Someone else might know that, but I haven't been told that. Nathan Eovaldi on the mound tonight for the Red Sox. It's game number 3 of the ALCS. What do you got?
It just made me think of something. Like,
what?
He obviously knows what's ailing him, because if he's allowed in the clubhouse around the team with an illness, he would be quarantined away from the team if he was contagious, right?
What if they thought that he would have been contagious Saturday, Sunday, and then by today he wouldn't be? Which is why they flew him separately from the team and didn't want him on the team flight. That could be their cover, even if it's not
true. Could have been.
Right? I mean, that could be what they tell you.
Typically, it's not just 1 or 2 days, though. Typically, it's like 3 or 4. Get the guy out of here. Don't let him back for like 3 or 4 days.
Right, because if that runs through your team, then forget it. Like, then you're cooked at that point. If everyone comes down with something like that, you can't function. So, I don't know. I just find the story a little suspicious. A little bit. I don't know if we're ever going to find out what's really going on. just keep your fingers crossed that he's going to be able to come back and pitch well. 617-779-0985. We've got a lot coming up today, including Brad Stevens. As you said, Brad Friedel is on the West Coast with the Revs, so he's not going to join us.
No Friedel and the Beatle?
Brian Bilello is going to join us. Oh. We're going to get his boss. We're going to get Brad Friedel's boss. He's coming in the studio here. We're at Gillette. He's going to walk right on in here.
That would be nice.
We have an in-studio guest on the road today. That is going to happen. And we're going to continue to talk Red Sox here in this first hour because not only this going on, how about Alex Bregman talking some trash?
Talking trash
on social media. Welcome to baseball in 2018.
Love it.
Welcome to sports in 2018.
Love it.
Taking your shots ahead of a game on Instagram. We'll tell you what happened there as we get ready for game three between the Red Sox and Astros coming up at just after 5 o'clock tonight. So.
Okay. That's a big bag of yuck.
Yeah.
You
don't like that?
I hate it. That's
okay, we'll talk about that next. Hang on to that thought. We'll be right back from July. Yeah.
Zola and Bertrand. Midday on 98.5. From Gillette Stadium, it's Zolak and Bertrand. Sponsored by the Massachusetts Pirates. On 98.5 The Sports Hub and online at 98.5thesportshub.com.
Alex Bregman took to Instagram yesterday and said he was doing a little video work ahead of game three. What are you laughing at?
Just Bregman.
Bregman in general.
Intentional video.
And he put up a video as he like took his phone and was videoing the video system where you could pull up, as a player, you could pull up anything.
No. He was videoing another phone.
Oh, that was another phone?
He had his hand around the phone. And
yeah.
Oh, I
thought it was like a screen when I was
ultimate that. Tool bag move. He's got one phone videotaping the other phone.
Oh, wow.
So I set it up correctly.
I thought he was, you know how you've, I don't know if you've seen it.
You just don't like Bregman.
Have you seen like those?
I don't like Bregman, and that's another reason not to like him.
Have you seen those little video workstations in MLB? Like, I don't know if you've ever seen one of those like behind the scenes Red Sox things where they're doing their video work.
Yeah.
Like, even on the road, they got these little setups, you know, little computer or whatever to go. I thought he was, I knew it was a screen. I didn't realize it was holding a phone.
I saw him holding something. He was videoing something.
I didn't realize
that.
I didn't realize he was holding it. So he went and pulled up video of the Astros hitting back-to-back home runs against Nathan Eovaldi when he was in Tampa and wrote little pregame video work. Bregman was the guy who hit the second of the homers against Eovaldi. So that's what he put up, like to troll Nathan Eovaldi, to troll the Red Sox before tonight's game. That's him, I guess, like talking trash, like we're going to hit home runs against you or something. The Red Sox gave zero response to it yesterday. Eovaldi, Cora, no one really had much to say about it. So, you know, Eovaldi was like,
what are you going to say?
I still have a job to do. I'm going to go out there and not think about the distractions.
Eovaldi said he's not on social media. I don't know.
I thought Cora had a good answer. He said, if you need motivation in game three of the ALCS, like, then you've got a problem.
Yeah.
Like, you've got to check yourself is what he said. You want to play that? We have it. Let's go. Play.
Have you heard about this video that Alex Bregman put up on Instagram with the home runs off Eovaldi?
I have no idea. From Alex? No.
I mean, after Judge last round with New York, and now this, do you just view this as the way baseball is evolving, or do you think lines are being crossed here?
No. It's we don't know. We don't know about that. I mean, we didn't know about Judge, and we don't know about what Alex did. It's
Well, you knew eventually about Judge.
Pedroia told me about it, but he didn't mention it today. So yeah, I gotta tell him about it. I don't know. That's for the players, you know. Like I said a few days ago, if you need motivation in Game 3 of the ALCS. You better check yourself, you know, because you win three more games, you go to the show, and that's what should motivate you. Alex has different ways of motivating himself, and, whatever. I'll leave it at that.
Alex Cora yesterday talking about Bregman's post.
Is that Pete Abraham asking questions?
I didn't think it was that time.
Okay. I mean, that might have been Conforto.
Why, you want to give him, like, Writer of the Day Award?
Pete's been,
Pete's on fire, huh?
Where you been, bro?
Pete on fire down there. Now.
Pete's like, hey, man, I'll tell you what, Boston Globe, you're getting your money's worth.
Maybe it is. I didn't think right away that it was. I don't know. Maybe it is. I have no idea.
Good questions right on top of him. Well, you know, you found out about it. And Pedroia told you. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Well, he brought it up. He's like, we didn't know about Judge. Yeah. Liar. There's no way they didn't know Pico, about Judge.
You
know,
well, Pedroia told you.
No way. Yeah. That was everywhere. That was covered. As soon as that happened that night, it was on social media. Everyone knew about that.
Right.
Everyone knew about that the night that it happened. They knew about that. Players definitely knew about that. They're on social media all the time. So they knew that it happened. I love when the other teams do this. I love it. I love that Bregman did this. I hope he strikes out 5 times tonight. I love it. Yes, you jackass. I hope you do nothing tonight. That's inviting bad things to happen.
Sure.
I thought it was inviting bad things for Judge. He loses the series. I want Bregman to suffer the same result. You lose.
Best part about it is they're not playing in primetime. Playing 5 o'clock.
Hey, Astros, I thought you guys played in primetime. That would be... No, this is what I would do. I wouldn't do the trash talk publicly. I'd do it on the field, like before the game.
Yeah.
I'd be asking Bregman to check his watch. Hey, bro, what time are we starting the game tonight? I thought you guys played in primetime down here in Houston.
What time is that
in
Houston?
Is that only in Boston?
It's 4 o'clock local.
Oh, it's 4. So it's 4 only... PM. Houston's only one behind.
Yeah, we were there for a whole week.
What did he call?
Dude, I can't remember anything.
We
from
spent
Super
like
Bowl
9
week.
Days there.
That hell ride and that car you took me to eat awful barbecue.
No,
of all the
Wait
barbecue joints.
Wait
ate
a minute, the barbecue was awesome.
Barbecue was it was good, but there was some phenomenal barbecue down
Wait,
there.
Good. Correct
we
me
in
if
a
I'm
strip
wrong.
Mall.
You,
it was good
you have
barbecue.
Spoken highly of the barbecue
it was good
every
barbecue.
Time we've talked about the barbecue since.
It's
in
good.
Fact, you, being you, made friends with the guy who owned the place in a matter of 6 seconds, and he's feeding you all the extra brisket. Do you remember this?
That's right.
Only Zoe.
Bird tips.
Like, Zoe can walk in anywhere and become, and the guy didn't know who you were. He didn't know anybody was. We're in Houston. And you became best friends with him in 3 minutes.
I'm like, football. Yes,
and he's
football.
Like, shoving extra meat on
here. Try
on this. Plate. Here, let me give you a little something to try.
Did you guys get dessert? You want some dessert? I'm like, no, we're good. No dessert. More sauce. Give me a cup of that sauce. You want to take some with you?
You have never said the barbecue is bad until now.
Right. It was just a ride to get there. Jim just blew the
which
whole thing.
Which will live as a story among us for years to come.
I mean, do you know how big Texas is? And we were driving. And we got to the point where you didn't see.
Yeah, it's big.
You just, but no, we just turned and looked left, right. You didn't see lights anywhere. I'm like, where the hell is he taking us? Like, we're heading to the damn border.
Well, you know how big Houston is, and we were well outside of Houston.
Hardy, we were beyond the beyond. Houston there's is... a beyond loop outside Houston, like the super loop.
We are beyond
we were
the beyond
outside
loop.
The super loop on another loop.
Yeah.
Like overlay, overlay a map of Houston over Rhode Island. It's like the same
you
size.
Couldn't see lights.
So screaming at his phone, trying to find good barbecue, Houston. Blink. Here, there's a Ponderosa near you in 4 miles.
Yeah. No, not Ponderosa. Good barbecue.
It was taking us to Sizzler and Ponderosa.
Unbelievable.
Wow.
How dare you say it was okay? It was phenomenal.
The county that Houston is in, Harris County, is larger than the state of Rhode Island. How about that?
Here's Jim, two hands on the wheel, seatbelt on, just cruising at 50. Right, step on it, dude.
No, I was driving that.
Yeah,
night.
You can't get in the story.
You get the story
wrong.
All
I was in the
wrong.
Back seat.
I was
in the back
driving.
Seat.
What was Jim was in the back seat.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You were in the front seat with me.
Then you were flying then.
You were in the front seat because you can't sit in the back seat of those cars. I don't
Jim was directing Beetle from the back seat on his Fisher-Price My First iPhone with a map with, like, hardly any graphics on it or anything else.
You slide the iPhone into that case. Like, it's got that clear front. It looks like a big toy.
What'd you mean? Right. Jim had 1G.
But it's locked. It's
everybody
got,
else
like,
is on 4G.
It's got parental mode on. It's got parental mode.
We're moving slowly towards the
safe search.
The pig says, oink, oink. Like, that's what was going on in the
we're
back
Super Bowl this year, Atlanta. We're not leaving town this year.
Okay,
we're not
fine.
Leaving town.
All right. But, yeah, Houston's an hour behind, so it's a 4 o'clock start down there in Houston. No. In case you were wondering. I love the 5 o'clock start here. Why don't you like it?
It's just go time with kids and everything. Practices. Man, you
I'm missing everything tonight.
You are missing
everything. I'm missing everything tonight.
Out.
Why?
For Hardy's.
Oh, I mean, dentist appointments and then practice, and I'm just going to be recording everything and avoiding all media
Jesus,
and just
I'll be here
coming home and watching, time. You know, watching
yeah,
everything
I will say,
later.
It is inconvenient on a weekday. I love it on a weekend, though.
Oh, I'd take
yes.
a weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, in a second. You can plan that.
Yeah, it's yeah. true. Let's go to Dave, who's in Haverhill today, on Nathan Evaldi tonight. Dave, what do you got?
What's up, guys? You guys are actually the best show going, man. And I'm not tooting your horn, but listen, my concern is Eovaldi. I looked up some of his numbers. He's a 500 pitcher, basically, okay? So we need the bats, and I don't mean to go to another show, but Maz has said we get to bang out runs. Yeah. I mean, Eovaldi gives up 3-4 runs, 5-6 innings. We need the bats to bang.
Eovaldi's been a great matchup against the Yankees. Brother. It's been a Yankees thing with Eovaldi. He's been a great matchup against the Yankees, even the regular season to the postseason. Other teams he's had issues with, and it could happen, and it could happen quickly tonight. What's the plan tonight? Who's the long guy tonight? You know, if things go bad tonight, who's the long guy? Who's up? It could be a mix of guys. You know, is Price available tonight, right? All hands on deck. Right? Why wouldn't you throw him?
I don't know.
Saturday? He's through Sunday.
Yeah.
Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
Two days later.
But can he give you an inning tonight?
I think he could give you an inning.
I think he could too. If you don't even warn him, but you say, David, get up, you're going next inning.
Can't you sail in the eighth?
Huh?
Can't you sail in the eighth this week?
That's right.
That happened last week.
You're right. So you can't use Porcello. He's going tomorrow.
Good point. That's the point. Like,
you might
up?
Actually have to rely on your actual bullpen tonight.
Erod.
Heater?
Oh, God.
Heath Embry?
God, no.
Heater.
That whole bullpen still doesn't give you a lot of confidence. I don't know. I know they've pitched – some of those guys back there pitched well recently. Still, you get nervous every single time. Dan in Florida. What do you got for us, Dan?
Hey, what's up, guys? What's up? Just wanted to say – oh, wait. So I've been waiting forever to say that.
Ah, need more shirts.
Yeah. All right. So – Sale, everybody's got it wrong. You know how we were talking about there's nothing to cheer for. There's no shilling and bloody socks. Well, this is the moment, man. This is where freaking Sale coming back with an MJ game, like 102 fever, pitches lights out, and this is the start of the myth right here, man. I love it. I can't wait for it.
Yeah. What?
It's like they remember when Schilling's banged up and
yeah.
Chris Sale's going to do the same thing.
I wouldn't say this is nearly as bad as what happened with Curt Schilling.
Yeah, that was surgery.
Schilling had to surgically go put his ankle back together with a cadaver's ligament.
Yes.
The dead guy's
102 temperature. He's come down and do what Brady did.
I'm having a little bit of a hard time comparing those
Brady
two things.
Brady was bedridden, man. Pittsburgh.
617-779-0985. I don't know that I would compare those two things. That would be my... That'd be my assessment there. Let's see. Let's find out what's really going on before we sort of make that determination. Billy Jaffe's going to join us coming up at 10:50 this morning. We'll talk some Bruins with him. We'll get to more of your calls after Headlines with Hardy.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Red Sox and Astros play Game 3 of the ALCS tonight in Houston. Early start for this one, 5 o'clock. Dallas Keuchel will get the ball. Sox answer with Nathan Eovaldi. Series tied at one game each. Brewers over the Dodgers 4-0 last night in L.A. to take a 2-1 series lead. They'll play Game 4 tonight. Celtics open up the NBA regular season this evening. Home to play the Philadelphia 76ers. Gordon Hayward, you're aware that you got hurt like in the first game last year and everything that happened, right?
I'm definitely aware of what happened. Definitely aware of the situation that I'm about to experience as far as playing in a real game. For the first time in a long time, but you know, after you kind of accept that, then you can attack it.
Sean Grandy, Cedric Maxwell, the call pregame 7:30, tip off 8 o'clock right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Monday Night Football. Packers beat the 49ers last night 33-30. Headlines are brought to you by Clear Path for Veterans, New England's Journey Home 5K to support our veterans and first responders on Veterans Day. Register now at JourneyHome5K.com. I'm Hardy on Boston's Home for Sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Scott Zolak, Mark Bertrand. 98.5 The Sports Hub. You can hear the podcast of Zolak and Bertrand on the podcast page of 98.5thesportshub.com. Here's Owen Beadle from Gillette Stadium, sponsored by the Massachusetts Pirates. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Wondering if you've been informed or seen Alex Bregman's video on Instagram.
No, you know, I don't have any of the social media or anything like that. The guys have told me about it. I think it's home run clips, right? Something like that. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm aware of it.
Does it impact you at all? Motivate you? Or
no, I mean, I still have a job to do. I got to go out there and pitch my game tomorrow, and, you know, I can't have any distractions.
All right, but more importantly, we're watching.
No, you're not going to do this.
We're watching Flex, the Flexol, the ad that
Flex
you just saw.
We're watching Flex Glue.
And I'm like, there's no way the bricks can hold blah blah blah, or the cinder blocks, and you know, you
right.
put it in. I'm the towel underneath the water on your pool.
Yeah.
And Beetle's got these YouTube, you know, doing
real
it yourself
people.
At home
real
videos
people, yeah.
doing the tests, and it works.
Testing to see if the infomercial lives up to the hype. It looks like it, Jim. It looks like it lives up to the hype.
Just pushing the product that's on before us, and I would buy the Flex Glue.
Flex Glue,
yeah,
proud advertiser
good.
On NBC
looks,
Sports.
Looks like
Boston.
It works. Yeah. So back to Evaldi.
Yeah, back to Nathan Evaldi.
He did not see it. Yeah, he's not on Insta. He's not on MySpace or MyFace or any of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. No social media for Nathan Evaldi.
Evaldi T seems like a guy who's really serious. Just like he doesn't. He seems like a very serious guy.
Yeah.
So he may not get into it. And Cora being like, I don't know what's going on. Like that, I don't buy.
Yeah,
of course you know what's going on.
You know Cora, especially Cora knows Bregman very well, and probably dug him when he was there. But knows he's sort of like that Pedroia type,
say,
a
yeah.
prickly type of player. You know, needs all that stuff to get him going.
Bregman's easy to hate. I love it. I love just hating on Bregman.
I just like that you got some back and forth here. This is just we need this.
What did he call the Astros when he said they should be in prime time? What did he call them?
The Showstros?
Showstros. I couldn't remember what it was, how he referred to the team.
It's so douchey.
Oh, the Showstros.
Showstros.
Not the Showstros playing primetime. It's a 4 o'clock game locally. What's the deal, Alex? Thought you guys played in primetime down here. Thought you guys needed primetime. Mark in Kingston on J.D. Martinez. What's up, Mark?
Hi.
Hi.
You know, nobody seems to be talking about, you know, J.D. Martinez not hitting and he looks pretty bad at the plate, actually, recently. He seems like he's lost up. He's been swinging at bad pitches. He hit a home run in the first game against New York, and he really hasn't done much since, you know. And I think, yeah, pitching's major concern, but if we don't have the pitching, we need to get some bats, you know.
Yeah, we talked about it yesterday on our show with him. I mean, take away that first inning home run against the Yankees. What's he done since?
Not much.
Nothing.
Not much of anything. He's 0-4 in this series.
Yeah.
So that's a problem. That's a problem. And by the way, that's going to hurt him. Well, I think less of a player if they have this great regular season and then they get to the playoffs when it matters most and they stink.
That's David Price. Right? I mean, if we're going to be critical of Price and hold him to that, hold hitters and everyday players
what's
to that.
The, yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. What's right. what's the difference?
Well, that's why Mookie's getting criticized.
What's the difference
right
between
now,
J.D. Martinez and his performance offensively during the playoffs? I know that he did have the home run,
Mookie's
so you have to
going.
Give him credit for that.
Mookie's got
to
get going, too. You know, both those guys. Those are your two big guys. They got to get going. They haven't done much. You know, bases loaded the other night. He's swinging at first pitch and knocks one to third. Yeah, you get a play at the plate. I mean, but he gets on base, but that's it. You know, it doesn't seem like there's any emotion out of him right now. You know, even going back to the dugout, doesn't seem bugged by it. At least Benintendi the other night gets called out. He's thrown his helmet, his gloves, his bat. You know, gets a little pissed off. Need more motion out of the team.
I think that you look at the offensive performance so far of the Red Sox in general, and they're just not matching what they were in the regular season.
Yeah, but the old adage was.
And they're tied 1-1 in the ALCS. So you could take that one of two ways. You could say that's not good because you need them to hit. Or you could say, well, they haven't hit yet, but they will. And they just haven't done it yet.
Yeah.
And look at them. They already got through one series, and they're tied up in the next.
Did some nice timely stuff the other night, though, which helped win the game and even the series. So you're back at it again. And you can look at it both ways. You know, they're in a spot now where they can take care of business, do what they do. And, you know, and I've heard Felger and Mass talk about this. You play the way you did against the Yankees, where it's flawless baseball, front to back, you know, offense, defense, everything, base running, decisions, throws. You're going to beat this team. Probably going to win the whole damn thing. Two best teams in baseball are these two going at each other. So, in essence, this is the World Series.
617-779-0985. He's a career 250 hitter in the postseason. J.D. Martinez. I'd like to think he's better than that.
He looks better than that.
I mean, he's a better hitter than that. Don't we sort of know right. that by now?
Yeah.
He's better than that. So that's a concern. Mookie Betts, you mentioned him. You're talking about two potential MVPs.
Benintendi. Benintendi, too. Benintendi's a big bat for you.
But to go to the two big ones, the guys we, you know, talked about all year long, right. J.D. Martinez and Mookie Betts, you have not gotten anything close to what they are in the playoffs yet.
Other than that first inning against the Yankees, I can't recall a player either of them has made, other than Mookie breaking coming out of right field where he got the ball in a gap. Forget what couple, maybe that was game one the other night. Not sure, but other than that, I don't really recall anything that they've done.
To this point, J.D. Martinez has four singles and a home run in the playoffs.
Oh.
The home run was big, so it's hard to, like, discount
that. One game run for you. Yeah.
Yeah, the home run was big. It was an important home run. But so in the last five games, J.D. Martinez has produced three singles.
Brock Holt has hit more.
Yeah, I mean, Mookie had that late innings in game two. He finally, like, maybe that's the turning point there. I don't know, to extend the lead late in the game, but hit that double. Hopefully, that turns the corner there.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it turns out they almost needed those runs because Kimbrel looked a little shaky there in the ninth.
A little shaky. He's just shaky.
Period. That's what he is.
Shaky. I'd say so.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is it for Kimbrel here, man.
Yeah.
Moving on after this.
Yeah, they're going to let him walk. I thought that long before we got to the playoffs and postseason. But
you got three games in a row. You can't use him for six outs tonight or four outs tonight. You can only use him for three outs tonight.
Three out guy tonight.
No Sale, no middle, no end guy. You need Eovaldi to go seven innings tonight.
Oh.
Really? That's what you need?
What do you think the odds of that are?
Can they score like 10 in the first again?
Oh, that would be so helpful.
Oh, like, think about it.
So, you know, this all kind of comes full circle here, what we're talking about. They need their offense tonight. They really do.
They run in the buzzsaw tonight down there. Their first game here in this series down there. Easy game for people to get to during the day. Stupid train. The train's out there, right?
Yeah. They still have it?
Is
it still there?
Yeah. Should be there.
Well, they had it in the playoffs last year, didn't they?
Yeah, I can't remember.
Yep. So, I mean, I think it's a good spot for Houston today. I don't know. You should be in trouble tonight.
617-779-0985. We'll talk about the Bruins with Billy Jaffe. That is coming up next on Zolak and Bertrand.
Zoe and the Beatles. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Zoe and Beetle at Gillette Stadium, sponsored by the Massachusetts Pirates. On 98.5 The Sports Hub and online at 98.5thesportshub.com.
And the horn sounds here at TD Garden. The Boston Bruins get a hat trick from David Pastrnak, two from Jake DeBrus. They assault the Red Wings today with an 8-2 victory here at TD Garden.
Welcome back to Solak and Bertrand here on this Tuesday. We welcome in from Nesson, pregame, postgame coverage, and our friend Billy Jaffe with us now. Hey, Billy.
Hello, gentlemen. Good morning. How are you?
Oh, we're doing great. Well. What should we make of the offensive output of the Bruins here early in the season? They're scoring a ton of goals. They can't maintain this, can they?
Yeah, say something.
Well, I don't know. That would be a great, you know, situation if they were able to. My guess is that the top line will not be able to continue this torrid pace. The question remains is, you know, will they continue to keep this together? Bruce Cassidy for now says, yeah, they're sticking right and they're staying right in my pocket, these guys, these three. And they're getting nice output from, you know, Marchand assist wise. He hasn't started shooting yet. Imagine when he starts shooting six shots through five games. You imagine if he was, you know, doing his regular, you know, sniping. How many more? I mean, Pastrnak's on red-hot fire, white-hot fire, and Bergeron is Bergeron. Bergeron's actually had some other chances that he's actually missed, and he still has 11 points. He was a player of the week in the NHL. So can they keep it up? Probably not, but if they get it from other lines, then maybe they can beat them. Maybe they can be the, you know, like Toronto, 3 to 4 goals a game.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to ask you that. I mean, you hear all the callers complain, say, oh, they're top-line heavy. They just only have one line. But when you're producing the way they're producing, I mean, what else can you do? Is there anybody you could move?
well, as anybody can move. Well, you know, they have
the chemistry of the top line or second
line. Well, I mean, you know, the question is does Jake DeBrusk fill the right side next to David Krejci to the point where you actually then put either, you know, in no particular order, a Ryan Donato, an Anders Bjork, a Danton Heinen on the left side with Krejci, and now you get another, you know, highly effective offensive line on your line two. Then you don't have to move Pastrnak from the right side from Patrice Bergeron. Right now, you know, Bruce Cassidy seems reticent to do that. Does Kenny, you know, he can always go back to it if he moves it, but he just seems so comfortable with it, and understandably so. There, you know, it's so hard to match up against that line, because then if you're taking your opponent's top line and putting it against them, well, maybe they can neutralize that line or actually beat them too. So, I mean, they need one of the young guys to step up. I mean, DeBrus so far has looked good. They didn't play a good team the other day. And I'm not, no disrespect to Detroit. Flat out, they're not a good team right now. They're just not. And the Bruins took advantage of that, especially defensively. They're porous. But it gets Jake DeBrus going. That could be huge for this team, Zoe. Maybe he takes that right side on line two, and that helps solve some issues.
Should we change our expectations of the season based on what they've done so far?
What were your expectations? Tell me, I'll tell you if it's changing.
We overreacted game one.
I mean, it was a horrible loss, but in terms of where they are in their conference and where they should slot in their conference and, you know, what we expect them to be, because when we talked about them, you know, going back, I don't know, a month or so, it was sort of like, well, if they could maybe end up being at the bottom of the Eastern Conference, just getting into the playoffs, it might be an easier path. I don't know if you remember that conversation we had, Billy. They might be too good for that.
Well, I think that things have to play out. And, you know, they played a weaker mix of competition so far, okay? Now, by the way, Washington got their asses kicked 6-0 the other day. So the Bruins lose 7-0 to Washington. Washington loses 6-0. And my point is, it's early on in the season. We saw this with the Pats when they had the debacle a few weeks ago, and now everybody thinks that they're pretty darn good. The Bruins are... They're top three in their division. There's no doubt about it. It's them and it's Toronto. We know that up there. And when it's Tampa. Meanwhile, Tampa's only played a couple of games. So, Beetle, to change expectations? No, they're still a top team. We're talking 5 games played out of 82 right now. I'm not ready to change anything, considering the fact that, you know, they've played the Ottawas, they've played the Detroits. They have a little tougher trip coming up. Calgary's been playing better after losing their first game. Edmonton, it's their home opener, even though they played Edmonton the other day. And they looked okay. They didn't look good. Great, Edmonton. But I'm not changing my expectations. This is still a very good team. I'm still not convinced that they are what they are yet because of that third-line center spot, even more so than second line. Their third-line center spot, they got to figure that out. Is it going to be Backes? Who's going to be that line? They're not there yet. Let's talk 10 to 15 games into the season. We'll have a better idea.
Right. Yeah, I get what you're saying. So your answer to that is no, don't get crazy on what they've done. They haven't exactly played the best competition, and they still have their own issues that they got to work out.
But regardless,
but they're still good.
Don't road trips like this early in the year show you something, or show Cassidy can it show you something?
Well, I think so. You know, I mean, you go into Calgary, which, again, after their first game loss, they've won, was it 3 of 4, and they're playing pretty well. They got an interesting team, pretty good blue line. I like it now there. New coach there this year. You head out to that Northwest, the Canadian Northwest. It's Edmonton's home opener, though, so they're going to be ready, and they're going to be roaring there, despite how the team has played so far, so that's going to be a challenge. Then you have Vancouver on Saturday. Always an interesting game, I think, for the Bees. Then you come back east. I do think that a trip like this says something. I do like the vibe around this team right now. I like the goaltending tandem right now. Everybody's very comfortable with that. And I do like the fact that there still is this feel of competition, and that's okay, especially for the young guys. We've talked about it. They got to earn their spots, and there's nothing wrong with that.
We were at Warrior last week, Billy, for the first time, and man,
I know.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting.
I saw
all the shows from there this year.
Yeah, so nice stuff.
Like the team likes it too. You know, it's like
the gorgeous facility.
The vibe's different. You know, the vibe is different.
It's a great facility. It's fantastic ice. They've done a wonderful job making, you know, it's the old saying. I don't know if you had guys saying this to you, you know, management, you know, there's no excuses. Take away the excuses, right? Yeah. There's, you know, so you got a state-of-the-art facility. You've got meal service there. You've got, you know, gorgeous locker facility. The ice is awesome. So go out there and perform at your highest level. And it's, you know, it's convenient. Everybody can live within 15 minutes of it, and that's a big difference than where they were before.
All right, Billy, appreciate the time. We'll talk again next week.
All right, you guys did look good there. I saw it. You looked good at Warrior, like you belong.
Oh, yeah, there we did, yes.
I've heard that. I've heard that about the TV show yeah. Warrior.
Yeah, it looks yeah. great.
Looks good. So keep it up. Like
the,
it.
The closet we're in right now. I thought he meant we looked good now. I'm like, no.
See you, guys.
I just took a piece of fabric and put it on my chest. See you, Billy.
It is. It's like the same exact, like, sheen. It has a like sheen this. To yeah. it.
He just cut a whole backdrop for his head.
I should go with that, like, for Halloween.
two eyes and a sheet.
It's like you guys are standing in front of a green screen, but it's blue screen.
Why don't you come
just
down here?
Floating Thanks. Heads.
Hardy would love to come.
Oh, he'd love to come down.
It'd be a lot easier.
What is it, door-to-door?
A lot easier. 20 minutes, yeah.
20 minutes, yeah.
All
right, 617-779-0985. Why don't we get to a hockey call before we get to the headlines with Hardy? Mark is in Medford.
Hey, good morning, guys. Is Billy still on? Or
no? No, he left.
No.
All right. Well, anyway, the Bruins, I mean, it's been five games or four, whatever it is. They've been playing good defense except for the game against Washington. Now, when Plou comes back, like, who's the odd man out? Because I think, personally, when Plou comes back, that kind of weakens the defense a little bit. He's great. He's great on the power play with his offense, but that weakens the defense a little bit. Who do you see?
I don't think it weakens you. I think you get a talented guy that can move the puck back there. He's going to be first.
They're
not bringing it back until he's ready.
I understand it, but I got to be honest with you guys.
A long
I don't
time
think
yet.
Krug. Right, but I don't think Krug is a very good defenseman.
No,
when it comes
ever
to playing
yes.
defense. Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. When he comes back, it kind of weakens the back end a little bit.
Yeah, I understand that, but I'll roll with the veteran.
More well, what are you going to do? Not bring him
yeah.
back?
No, that's what I'm saying. Who becomes? You got to bring him back because you need him on the power play because he's great on the power play. The thing is, who do you sit? A hard decision to make.
Yeah, I don't know. Who would
do you go with a seventh defenseman?
Who would you sit?
Who would I sit right now? Nobody.
Okay. Well, then we're in the same place.
I like that he listens and I like that he calls.
Waiting for a take there.
He thought he was going to talk to Jaffe. That's
Troy
why.
Krug
No.
Troy Krug is going to come back, and we're not going
to. He talked to Jaffe
him.
The last time he called in, and then he talked to DeBrusque when he called in. He thinks he's going to talk to these guys every time.
Well, I'll tell
good.
You what.
That's good.
Yeah. I'm not worried about it yet because Krug's not coming back yet.
That's like the least of your problems.
Still in a walking boot.
Right.
I'm not worried about it right now.
You got time to figure that out.
Yeah.
I'm sure people will play themselves out of it.
Someone might.
Yeah.
617-779-0985. Let's get a headlines with Hardy, and we'll be back from Gillette coming up in 90 seconds. The Patriots are going to have a game before they get to Buffalo, but there's some news out of Buffalo as it relates to the Bills. And
make you want to shout.
You watched Monday Night Football last night?
I did.
You have some thoughts on that?
Sure do.
Let's talk some football coming up in 90 seconds.